Thank you, Dwayne. Good evening to each of you. I greet you in the name of our dear Savior, even Jesus Christ. As our brother said, I do have a zeal, and sometimes it overflows in the things that I want to present to you, and I'm sorry if it's going to be too much. I hope and pray it isn't. Before I begin, I want to just say that I received a text from my brothers and sisters in the Philippines, and they're receiving a pretty nasty windstorm, and it's hitting our area. And in fact, one of our main elders was heading up north to go home, and he had to pull off the side of the road. Everything was just dark and raining and hard. And so if you remember them in prayer, I appreciate it. Okay, Brother Jose kind of touched upon the subject a little bit, and Brother Jay touched on it a little bit as well. One of the things that Brother Jay had expressed in a testimony, a personal testimony, as he was delivering a service, a sermon, was that, you know, he remembered when he was sitting out there and he was listening to Brother Norman Warfield. And there was a scripture verse that just kind of hit him, and it changed his life. And that happened to me as well. And I just hope that some of the things that I present tonight, that it might do the very same thing to someone else out there, either in this room or out there in live streaming. Thank you for joining us if you're out there now. Here you can see it's Genesis 49, 22 and 26. It's concerning the prophecy concerning Joseph. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The blessings of the Father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors. Unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills, they shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. And as you can see, the everlasting hills, the Americas. And it has everything to do with the Americas and with the promise that Joseph was given long ago and kind of putting some things together. And so I hope that I don't overwhelm you and that we can maybe walk away kind of going, wow, I want you to have that in your mind to go, wait a minute, I need to look that up. I need to think about that. I need to pray about that. I need to study that a little more and see what he's talking about. I don't care. I don't have to have all the answers. What it is I want to instill with you an understanding what God has called us as a body of people to do in this day and why. So anyhow, how I got here was this little word, expedient. I was looking up on, you know, in our scripture, whatever you call it, that app that you can look up different things. And I had come across the word expedient. And so I was, wow, the Book of Mormon uses that. Those guys in the Book of Mormon use that a lot. And it uses it a little bit in the Bible, but a whole lot in the Book of Mormon. So expedient is something literally hasten, urging, or forwarding. If it's an adjective, tending to promote the object proposed, which is really kind of the topic. And then the other one, when it's a noun, that which serves to promote or advance. To promote or advance, remember that. And really, as you look up the word noun, it can be truncated with as an adjective based on how it's written in a sentence that could put both together, the adjective and the noun together, as it goes through, as it's being used in the sentence. There's your English for tonight. So here's some examples here. 1 Nephi 3:21. And also many more things which I do not write in this book, for I have written as many of them as were expedient for me in mine own other book. So here it's kind of like an adjective concerning what he's doing, you know, but it could be a noun too. But the second Nephi, the sixth, the second chapter, verse 38, more of a noun. And the words which he shall write shall be the words which are expedient in my wisdom, should go forth under the fruit of thy loins. This is kind of that last verse that I read to you is the theme of what I'm going to be talking about tonight. So when we're reading our scriptures, these are some of the things you should kind of mentally go through your mind. Who is talking to who? Who's doing the talking and who's receiving it? Who's writing the words, and who are the words for, and why are they expedient? Anything else to consider? You ask that question if you've looked at that, if you're studying the Word of God and allowing the Spirit. Very first thing you do is you get on your knees and you pray and ask the Lord to help you to understand the things that you're reading, that he might impress upon you, that you might feel the presence of the Spirit when all of a sudden you go, the aha moment, and you feel his presence rest upon you. That's a very important part in all of that. So the words that are expedient. 2 Nephi. Now, in 2 Nephi, the second chapter, starting with verses 11, and we're going to go down through 38, that's the one you can keep your finger in if you're following along. If not, you'll see it on here. Yea, Joseph truly said, thus saith the Lord unto me, a choice seer will I raise up out of the loins, the fruit of the loins of thy loins, forgive me, and he shall be esteemed highly among the fruit of thy loins. And unto him will I command, give a commandment that he shall do a work for the fruit of thy loins, his brethren, which shall be of great worth unto them, even the bringing of them to the knowledge of the covenants which I have made with thy fathers. And I will give unto him a commandment that he shall do none other work save the work which I shall command him. And I will make him great in mine eyes. Kind of underline that. For he shall do my work. That's kind of, those are two little things that are kind of important in that. So with that said, who is talking here? Anybody know? Huh? Well, the Lord's talking, but he's being quoting somebody. Well, Joseph. Joseph who? It's in the second chapter of 2 Nephi. And this is where he's talking to his son, Joseph, a little Joseph. Forgive me, I should have put some background around it. He was talking to his youngest son. And then he started quoting the words of Joseph of old. And he got it from the brass plates, those plates that really had their history, the seed of Joseph in there. And he started quoting that. In those verses of scriptures, that was who was doing the talking at that moment in time. He was just writing the words that were written long ago in that record. And they were the words of Joseph. Who is to write the words? A choice seer. Out of the fruit of thy loins. Who are the words for? Do a work for the fruit of thy loins, his brethren. Why are they expedient? Bringing of them to the knowledge of the covenants. That's the important thing about all this. That's what that work is to do, is to bring that covenant, the covenants that was delivered by Christ. Anything else to consider? Well, there was a commandment, he shall do no other work save the work which I shall command him. I will make him great in mine eyes, for he shall do my work. So those are just some of the things that I give you an example as we go through this, okay? So let's continue on. So in the Book of Commandments, words that are expedient. In the Book of Commandments, in the fourth chapter, in that last part, in chapter 4, in verses 1 through 3, we find recorded in our history that We find that Martin Harris, a revelation given to Joseph and Martin in Harmony, Pennsylvania, March 29, when Martin desired of the Lord to know whether Joseph had in his possession the record of the Nephites. So here you have this picture that Joseph was given those plates, and he was told, do not show them to anybody during this period of time. But Martin, he was able to tell him that they have this and it was going to be a work. And Martin Harris didn't believe him, he wanted more to believe. And so we find this revelation that came, behold, I say unto you that my servant Martin has desired a witness from my hand, that my servant Joseph has got the things of which he has testified and borne record that he has received of me. And now, behold, this shall you say unto him. You better be careful as to what you ask for, because you're going to get it. I, the Lord, am God, and I have given these things unto my servant Joseph. I have commanded him that he should stand as a witness of these things. That's an important aspect of it. Nevertheless, I have caused him that he should enter into a covenant with me, that he should not show them except I command him. And he has no power over them except I grant it unto him. And he has a gift to translate the book. And I have commanded him that he shall pretend to no other gift. For I will grant unto him no other gift. Does that sound familiar in the scriptures that I read you in 2 Nephi? In that second chapter. And verily I say unto you that woe shall come unto the inhabitants of the earth if they will not hearken unto my words. What words are those? Those words that he was going to translate and that we have in our hands. The Book of Mormon. For behold, if they will not believe my words, they would not believe my servant. Joseph, if it was possible that he could show them all things, O ye unbelieving and stiff-necked generation, mine anger is kindled against you. Kind of interesting thoughts. So, as we continue on in 2 Nephi in the second chapter, we're going to read verses 15 through 17, and there's going to be a type that was to be raised, okay? These are kind of important aspects of it because it helps us to understand what's going to unfold and how it's going to unfold. It says here, verse 15, and he shall be great like unto Moses, speaking of the seer, whom I have said, I would raise up unto you, unto Joseph, through his seed, to deliver my people, O house of Israel. And Moses will I raise up to deliver thy people out of the land of Egypt. But a seer will I raise up out of the fruit of thy loins, out of the fruit of the loins of Joseph of old. And unto him will I give power to bring forth my word unto the seed of thy loins. So where can we go in the Bible to help us to see maybe something that connects the dots between what's being said here in the Book of Mormon and what the Lord had to say about it? And so we find here in Ezekiel 37, 15 through 20, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take one stick. This should be familiar with you, right? And write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. Remember the slide I began with. Joseph was going to receive a mighty blessing. He's got a work to do. His progenitors, those that his of his loins, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in your hand. And when the children of thy people, there's another important aspect of this. When the children of thy people, who is he talking about? Of Israel, right? And if they've got these two sticks, what are they? Oh, well, we'll talk about that soon. But it says, when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show unto us thou the meaning by this, these, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them, even with the stick of Judah, and the sticks whereon thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. Again, think about the purpose behind these two sticks and what they're going to do. They're going to be evidence. They're going to be the testimonies. They're going to be the covenants that God wants them to know and understand in, from those two sticks. And they're going to be one in the hands of those who are going to have it. Those are important facts. The stick of Judah, that's the Bible as we understand it. It doesn't deny it. It's that record that we have of the disciples that were called of Christ. And then we have the stick of Joseph, which is a testimony concerning Christ and the workings from the seed of Manasseh, which is of the seed of Joseph's loins, which is in the hands of Ephraim. The hills, the everlasting hills, the Americas. Think about it. We're the only ones that have it. And we carry it in one hand. But Manasseh has it as well. Our brother's going to go down there and be with him. 2 Nephi, the second chapter, verses 18 through 20. For what purpose? Not to the bringing forth of my word only, saith the Lord, but the convincing them of my word, which shall have already gone forth among them. So, if you stop right there, what's doing the convincing? It's the records. The records is doing the convincing, not the seer. He was just the means to the end. That's an important part, because there's detractors out there that say, well, you convinced nobody. He didn't convert anybody in that sense. But we'll talk about that more. Verse 19, wherefore the fruit of my loins shall write. My loins, there you go, Joel. The fruit of my loins shall write, which is Joseph of old. And the fruit of the loins of Judah shall write, which that's what we have the Bible. And that which shall be written by the fruit of my loins, and also that which shall be written by the fruit of the loins of Judah shall grow together. Thus Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel 37, 21 through 23. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, which they are today, scattered everywhere. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. And so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And how is he going to do that? By giving them the covenants that you and I share and know, and that path of salvation, the things that Christ brought to his people when he came and he was born as a child. He says, I come but for the lost sheep of Israel. Those are the things that are going to be before their eyes, and those are the things you're going to start to follow. It's a type of Moses. What did Moses do? What did he do? He brought the law, right? And he gave the law to them according to what the Lord had given him. 2 Nephi 2, 15 through 20. bringing of them to the knowledge of the covenants. That's what this is telling you. That you can find that in verse 12. Verse 17 of that, what we read, it said, him will I give power to bring forth my word unto the seed of thy loins. And that's fulfilling what this in Ezekiel you're seeing. And the last thing, the convincing them of my word. Because of the testimonies of their own writings before their eyes. How will these things be accomplished? Well, it continues on in 2 Nephi in the second chapter, verses 24 through 27. Out of weakness, he shall be made strong. Who is he talking about? He's talking about the seer, okay? In that day when my work shall commence among all my people, unto the restoring of thee, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. And thus prophesied Joseph, saying, behold, that seer will the Lord bless. And they that seek to destroy him shall be confounded. For this promise of which I have obtained from the Lord, speaking, that's what Joseph is saying. I was given this promise of the fruit of thy loins shall be fulfilled. This work that he knew. Remember Joseph when he was coming out, when Moses was gathering the children of Israel and was going to leave Egypt to go to the promised land. What did he have to bring? What were they commanded to bring with them? You remember? It was the bones of Joseph. Why? Because he said, you will be leaving. I want my bones to be buried where you go. In our history of the Church of Christ, on page 20, you find this little historical snippet. This is from S.M. Smucker. He says, if, this is speaking of Joseph Smith, if he were an imposter, and this relates to what I had just read to you, okay, what was, that the Lord was going to support him in all this, deliberately and coolly inventing and pertinaciously propagating a falsehood, there is this much to be said, that never was an impostor more cruelly punished than he was. From the first moment of his appearance as a prophet to the last, Joseph Smith, in consequence of his pretensions to be a seer and a prophet of God, lived a life of continual misery and persecution. He endured every kind of hardship. Contumely, that's why I put the understanding what that word means, and suffering. He was derided, assaulted, and imprisoned. His life was on long scene of peril and distress, scarcely brightened by the brief beam of the comparative repose which he enjoyed in his own city of Nauvoo. In the contempt showed upon his head, his whole family shared. Father and mother, brothers and wife and friends were alike involved in the ignominy of his pretensions and the suffering that resulted. That's one of his detractors talking about him. And there was more in there in that history if you'd like to read about it. It was not an easy thing. But God gave him power to do one thing and one thing only, is to get this book translated from the records that he was given. And he was able to accomplish it by the power of God. The faith of Joseph of old. 2 Nephi 2, 28 through 31. Behold, I am sure of the fulfilling of this promise, and his name shall be called after me. Speaking of the seer, and it shall be after the name of his father. And he shall be like unto me, for the thing which the Lord shall bring forth by his hand, by the power of the Lord, shall bring my people unto salvation. Joseph was able to save his whole family because of the position that he was put in, if you remember that story, when his brothers sold him into slavery into Egypt. And he kept himself as best he could, and the Lord blessed him, and he became the number two guy in Egypt. And his family came at their doorstep in Egypt because of the famine, and they needed help. And it was him who preserved them through the power of God. Yea, thus prophesied Joseph, I am sure of this thing, even as I am sure of the promise of Moses. Remember, Joseph lived before Moses. So he saw Moses' day as well and knew what was going to happen there. Because why? Because he said, you're going to be leaving me, and I want my bones to go with you. Because there's going to be a guy like Moses going to be taking it. For the Lord has said unto me, I will preserve thy seed forever, Israel. We are given to know that his name was Joseph and his father's name is Joseph. Joseph Smith Jr. was given authority by God to do one and one thing only. Well, two things. Translate the Book of Mormon and one other thing. To establish the Church of Christ. Those are the two things he was given to do. And that was it. And because that the church was restored again, with all the power and authority that God had given the bride when Christ was walking on earth, we now have that added witness. That work that is to go to Israel, all of Israel, to convince them who Christ is. So there's another aspect to it, the spokesman from the loins of Joseph. It says here, 2 Nephi 2, 32 through 37, it says, and the Lord has said, I will raise up a Moses, and I will give power unto him in a rod. Remember what he did with the rod? The Lord gave him a rod, right? He was able to lay it down and turn it into a serpent and he'd pick it up again. And he did many things with the rod. But if you remember the story there, he didn't really want to go to Pharaoh like the Lord was asking him to do. And he was pushing back from it. But let's talk a little bit more. Verse 33, and I will give judgment unto him in writing. Speaking of Moses. And I will not loose his tongue, and he shall speak much, for I will make him mighty in speaking. I will not make him mighty in speaking, but I will write unto him my law by the finger of mine own hand. Speaking to what he gave Moses. And I will make one a spokesman for him. And the Lord said unto me also, I will raise up unto the fruit of thy loins, and I will make for him a spokesman. So again, the type, there's a type between Moses and the seer and the things that they were going to do and accomplish for the Lord. And I behold, I will give unto him that he shall write the writings of the fruit of thy loins, unto the fruit of thy loins, and the spokesman of thy loins shall declare. Meaning that the person that's going to be doing this, the seer, all he's going to do is write the book. Translate it through the gift of the Urim and Thummim. But there's going to be a spokesman for him to help him with that work. No different than in Moses' time. So who was the spokesman for Moses? Remember? Aaron was the spokesman. Exodus 4, 15 through 16, and if you read a little bit further up there, the Lord wasn't very happy or pleased with Moses at the time. Thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth, speaking to Aaron, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt to me be to him instead of God. Basically giving him the words to speak, and then he was to speak them to the house of Israel. And this was speaking of Moses and Aaron and the work that they were to do. And there was a type in our day and age. So, who is the spokesman for the seer? Now, you may agree or disagree, but I'm going to throw it out there. Moroni. And this is the reason why I say that. Moroni 10:18 through 26. And now I speak unto you, unto all the ends of the earth, that if the day cometh that the power and the gifts of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. It's kind of interesting how he starts approaching the main subject. Woe be unto the children of men if this be the case. For there shall be none that doeth good among you, no, not one. For if there be one among you that doeth good, he shall work by the power and the gift of gifts of God. And woe unto them which shall what? Do these things away and die. Do what things? Those things that come forth from the ones who have the power and the gift to bring it forth. That's a warning to anyone. Kind of goes back to when you go in 1 Nephi, 3rd chapter, verses 183, those who fight against Zion. It's not going to go well with them. That's this kind of a thought here, right? For they die in their sins, and they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. I speak it according to the words of Christ, and I thought. I exhort you to remember these things, for the time speedily cometh that ye shall know that I lie not, for ye shall see me at the bar of God. That's an interesting statement. And the Lord God will say unto you, did I not declare my words unto you, which were written by this man, speaking of Moroni, as he helped his father and to compile this record from all the many records that they had. And it was expedient as to the things that were put in there, okay? And the Lord God will say unto him, okay, like as one crying from the dead, yea, even as one speaking out of the dust, I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And who was it that I believe brought the plates to Joseph Smith? Who did he receive them from? Well, I believe it was Moroni. I know there's a little iffy things in the history, but if you look in our history, it says Nephi or Moroni, but I believe it was Moroni. I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And behold, they shall proceed forth out of what? The mouth of the everlasting God, and his word shall hiss forth in generations to generations. And God shall shew unto you that which I have written is true. So really, this is the mouthpiece, the spokesman for the seer, the work that came forth. All the writings of our beautiful brothers who is recorded in here from Nephi, Lehi to the end, Moroni. It's the spokesman for that great work that came forth in 1830. That God is true to his word. Words that cry from the dust. 2 Nephi 2, 38 through 43. And the words which he shall write shall be the words which are expedient in my wisdom, should go forth unto the fruit of thy loins. There was many, many other records that they could have taken this from, but this was expedient for our faith. And it shall be as if the fruit of thy loins had cried unto them from the dust, for I know their faith, and they shall cry from the dust even repentance, the covenants, unto their brethren, even that after many generations have gone by them. So, what do we read in here through all Mosiah, Nephi, all of them? What is the major theme? Repent and come unto Christ. It's the only path. It shall come to pass that their cry shall go even according to the simpleness of their words. Because of their faith, their words shall proceed forth out of my mouth unto their brethren. Out of whose mouth? Joseph's mouth. Because this was part of his doing, which are the fruit of, not Joseph Smith, I'm talking about Joseph of old, which are the fruit of thy loins. And the weakness of their words will I make strong in their faith unto the remembering of my covenant, which I made unto thy fathers. Speaking, now this is God speaking this. Ether, the fifth chapter, verses 27 through 28. And when I had said this, the Lord spake unto me, saying, fools mock, but they shall mourn, and my grace is sufficient for the meek, that they shall take no advantage of your weakness. If men come unto me, I will shew unto them their weaknesses. I give unto men weaknesses that they may be humble. And my grace is sufficient for all men that humble themselves before me. For if they humble themselves before me and have faith in me, then will I make weak things become strong unto them. So I was with Joseph Smith through all this process. And anyone else that applies those things, those beautiful things that Christ taught and took upon him, that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So, as we transition from here, here we see 2 Nephi, the sixth chapter, verses 8 through 9, Christ is born of the seed of Judah. Yea, I know that ye know that in the body, it's another, Joel and I talk about this from time to time, and I talk to others about Christ and understanding all of that. He shall show himself unto they at Jerusalem from whence we came, for it is expedient that it should be among them. They crucified him. Why? This is why it's expedient. 2 Nephi 7, 5 through 8, it says, wherefore, as I said unto you, it must needs be expedient that Christ, for in the last night the angel spake unto me, that this should be his name, should come among the Jews, among they which are the more wicked part of the world. That's why it was expedient for Christ to come among them, according to the plan of God from the very beginning of time, before we ever were created. They shall crucify him, for it behooveth our God. And there is none other nation on earth that would crucify their God. For should the mighty miracles be wrought among the other nations, they would repent and know that he be their God. Almost done. The day Israel believes in Christ. And that's the whole point of this, is bringing Israel to the point of understanding the covenants and the principal person within the covenants, Jesus Christ. That they're not waiting in the sidelines for a Messiah. They have the record of the children of Judah concerning Christ. They have the record of the children of Joseph concerning Christ, that he was the Messiah to come. His words recorded in them. And they which shall not be destroyed, speaking of Israel, shall be scattered among all nations. But behold, thus saith the Lord God, when the day cometh that they shall believe in me, that I am Christ, then have I covenanted with their fathers, that they shall be restored in the flesh upon the earth unto the lands of their inheritance. If you remember, some time ago, I had a sermon about Son of Man, can these bones live? Speaking of Israel. And it shall come to pass that they shall be gathered in from their long dispersions, from the isles of the sea, and from the four parts of the earth. That is the ultimate promise that is going to take place for Israel. Christ, this is another little tidbit, and I think you'll appreciate, Christ manifests himself unto his people. 2 Nephi in the 11th chapter, verse 24, and behold, it shall come to pass that after the Messiah hath risen from the dead, and hath manifested himself unto his people. What did Christ do? He came back to those that were in Jerusalem and showed himself among a bunch of different ones. But what else did he do? For a time, he visited the other tribes. Unto as many as will believe on his name. Behold, Jerusalem shall be destroyed again, for woe unto them that fight against God and the people of his church. That's a warning. But he manifests himself unto his people. And we have that record. We have that record here. And we know there was others, according to the plantings that we read in Jacob. But we know from Christ's own words. But the point is, Israel shall believe in Christ one day. 2 Nephi 11 chapter, verses 25 through 27. Therefore the Jews shall be scattered among all nations, yea, and also Babylon shall be destroyed. Wherefore the Jews shall be scattered by other nations. And that's what we've seen. If you know anything about history, what has gone on with Israel? What do you think Hitler was thinking about when he was going to go to Russia? What do you think? What was one of the main purposes? Who had a real good presence in Russia at that time? The Jews. There was more Jews there than most other places. It was Poland that had a concentration of the most Jews in that area. And there was a lot of Jews in high places in Russia. In fact, it was many Jews that came from Russia and went down to Israel and populated Israel. The kibbutzes, many of them were from Russia. It's kind of interesting. Where was I? And after that, they have been scattered, and the Lord God has scourged them by other nations, and they were scourged by other nations, weren't they? For the space of many generations, yea, even down from generation to generation, until they shall be persuaded to believe in Christ, the Son of God, and the atonement, which is infinite for all mankind. And when that day shall come, they shall believe in Christ and worship the Father in his name, with pure hearts and clean hands, and look not forward anymore for another Messiah. Then at that time, the day will come that it must needs be expedient, that word again, that they shall believe these things. What things? Meaning that how they're going to get there is believing these that are brought to them and help them to understand. And then as we know also in the 11th chapter, we know also in the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi that even when Christ comes and establishes kingdom, all things were going to be revealed. Nothing that is secret is going to be revealed from the time that man was to that time. All the recordings and records of the workings of God among the children of men are going to come forth at that time in the millennial reign. And according to Isaiah, in the last chapter, they're going to be used for a purpose doing this very thing. Here it says in the 28th verse, and the Lord will set his hand again the second time to restore his people. That's talking about the Book of Mormon coming forth and the restoration of the church. You can find that in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, about the 11th verse. Restore his people from their lost and fallen state. Wherefore he will proceed to do a marvelous work and a wonder among the children of men. That's where you can read in Isaiah the 29th chapter concerning this record coming forth. Wherefore he shall bring forth his words unto them, which words shall judge them at the last day. For they shall be given for the purpose of convincing Israel of the true Messiah who was rejected by them. That beautiful plan that God had. Okay. Promise. Very close. Ether 1:63. Have faith in Christ. Because of the fall, our natures have become evil continually. Nevertheless, O Lord, thou hast given us a commandment that we must call upon thee, that from thee we may receive according to our desires. That's kind of an open statement, you know, according to our desires. What else does the scripture have to say about that? Moroni 7:35. And Christ has said, if ye will have faith in me, ye shall have power, what? To do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. So it's not Santa Claus and we go to him. It's what's expedient for that work that he has, that plan that he has for the children of men, for each one of you out here, the sound of my voice and those that would read the words that were penned long ago. Moroni 10 again, that beautiful, beautiful ending of that 10th chapter. Yea, come unto Christ, that spokesman, and be perfected in him. That's the thing that we should be pursuing and what he's asking Israel to do through knowing of the covenants and repenting. And deny yourself of all ungodliness. Remember what he said about the people? And if you shall deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you are perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. This kind of goes twofold, right? Working in you, being that light to the children of men all around us. And again, if ye by the grace of God are perfected in Christ and deny not his power, then are ye sanctified, cleansed in Christ by the grace of God through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that you become holy without spot. And now I bid you farewell, all farewell. I soon go to the rest in the paradise of God until my spirit and body shall again reunite, and I am brought forth triumph through the air to meet you before the pleasing bar of the great Jehovah, the eternal judge of both the quick and the dead. Amen. Amen. So one last one. This is it. The promise. This is the big picture. Okay, Isaiah 52:6-10. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he, Christ, that doeth thus speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchman shall lift up the voice with the voice together. What was the watchman to do if there was going to be a warning or whatever, or someone was coming? Everyone knew it based on what the watchman sounded the the horn. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth unto joy. Sing together, ye waste places, O Jerusalem, of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The end game, you remember? The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. There's a mighty work that we've been given with these two testimonies. And we've been challenged by God to be faithful. May God bless us in that. Thank you for your time.